Hello, tech lovers, and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. On the way this week, all the details on the big upcoming events from Apple, Samsung, and Google. Plus, Jace is very excited to bring his Lego Game Boy to life.
Honestly, a real working Lego Game Boy. Anyway, before we get into it, a big thank you to CX for sponsoring this week's episode.
Yeah, if you're thinking about upgrading tech, but you don't want to pay full-on brand new prices, CX is definitely worth a look.
Yeah, you can trade in the gadgets you're no longer using, so your phones, your tablets, your games, your cameras, the lot.
And turn them into cash or credit towards something new for you.
And we're talking properly refurbished tech, from the latest phones to consoles and gaming gear, all for less than buying new.
Everything is fully tested
and comes with a 5-year warranty, so you've got that extra peace of mind.
Head to webuy.com or pop into your local CEX store and see what your old tech could be worth. Now, before we get started, a quick favour from us. If you're enjoying the podcast, can you please make sure that you like, follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to or watching us right now? It really helps more people find the show, and it means that you won't miss any episodes when they drop. Right, Jace, I know that you're excited to talk about your new Game Boy, but is there anything that you've come across this week that's got you kind of tingling in the old tech world?
Big time. It's been a really big week, actually. Can you hear me all right?
Because I've got the microphone. Yeah, I can hear you.
I want people listening and watching to be able to hear what we're saying. It's been amazing, actually. Okay, are you ready for this? Because not even Tom, our producer, knows I'm about to pull this out. Mm-hmm. Finally, I got one.
Finally,
the ROG Xbox Ally. Okay, I didn't get the Ally X, which is what I was most psyched about. Okay, because they're incredibly difficult to get and still very expensive. And would you believe it wasn't me that got this? It was my son. Talk about taking the mantle. He's done a really interesting sort of deal as a gamer. We'll call it like a kind of social media content thing. And it included one of these. And he rang me up and he said, "Dad, you're not going to believe what I've got at home." And he's given it to me. I'm super excited to tell you that the Xbox Ally, which obviously we talked about a lot before Christmas and was so hotly desired that I literally couldn't get one, is every bit as exciting as I thought it was. I thought I'd bring my Steam Deck in on shot. So for those of you listening, I'm holding up the Steam Deck and the Xbox Ally. They're really, really similar. I'd say they're almost identical in weight. I mean, there's probably a weight difference, but I can't really detect it. Interestingly, the Ally is thicker than the Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because you'd think it would probably be thinner because the Steam Deck now... It's really old, relatively old tech. But the integration, there's an Xbox button there. I'm not sure how clear it is on the screen. I'm holding it up. It's white, this one, for those of you listening, not watching this podcast, because you have both options. You just start it up. You can start it in a kind of, you've got a full screen Xbox mode, so it just acts like an Xbox, or you can have a Windows experience. Windows on a screen that small is not that pleasurable. So I've only been using it on Game Pass and Xbox subscription. I haven't installed Steam yet, which is interesting because it would be a really interesting thing to compare the Steam Deck Steam experience to the Xbox Ally version of Steam. But you can install it. You can install Epic as well and run Fortnite. But I've been playing loads of Xbox on it. What I love about it is a bit like the Steam Deck with Steam, actually. Xbox on this just starts up in a heartbeat and you're straight into the gaming. And I've tried the cloud-based gaming stuff as well because I've got the Game Pass. If you want a more in-depth understanding of this, because you only asked me what I was up to this week, I could have said, "I had a nice week. How about you?" so I don't want to go into too much detail. Then I think what I'll do, guys, is I'll do a bit of a special for our Patreon subscribers. So I'll film it playing some games. I'll talk about it. I'll get Steam on it so that you can see a comparison between it and the Steam Deck. So that's another great reason, if there weren't enough already, to get on our Patreon, which we'll tell you about in a minute. But there you go. That's dominated my week, as you might imagine, Susie.
Yeah, I can imagine. Anything else? Do you want to maybe talk about PlayStation and a certain game?
Are you talking about John Wick by any chance?
I am.
Okay, so it's been announced for PS5, and yes, it looks absolutely insane. Lots of slick action, lots of stylish kung fu martial arts type stuff, and everything you'd expect from Keanu's famous franchise. But while we're all getting excited about Keanu.
Did I tell you that I interviewed Keanu last year? Did I mention that? I mean, I don't like to talk about it. But
no, you know, I'm not even being silly. I think you might have mentioned it. But in what context was it? How did you... Was that on the grid, was it?
It was in Mugello, yeah, with his yeah. girlfriend.
I remember now, and you said he was really nice.
He was lovely. And she was too. Yeah.
But there's bigger news, and it's actually about the potential for the PS6, right? Mm-hmm. According to analysts speaking to Bloomberg this week, there's a very real chance that Sony might have to push the next PlayStation back to 2028, maybe even 2029. And the reason, which I'm assuming, Susie, you could probably guess, is the AI boom and the fact that all the AI startups, or those big data massive factories, are hoovering up RAM and high-performance memory. And it's causing such an issue. A good friend of mine, actually, is a PC, a sort of bespoke designer, gaming PC influencer. I'll say his name, actually. Why not? Battle Rigs is the account on Instagram, one of the biggest in the UK. And I was chatting to him the other day, and he was saying that the market has collapsed around this one-way journey, that all RAM and all high-end graphics cards and all that sort of the tech that goes into all that stuff is all going to AI data centers. Because, of course, they're saying, how much do you want me to write on the check? Because they're all in this great arms race, you know, the likes of XAI and Google, Anthropic and OpenAI, Meta, all of them are in the same spot. They need the hardware. So that means that consoles, PCs and all of our stuff, all the consumer stuff, are now fighting over components.
Perhaps.
I mean, if you've got DDR5 RAM, which I do have in this bad boy to my right here, I don't know exactly, but it's definitely doubled in price. It could have trebled or quadrupled by the time we're doing this podcast. People are paying huge amounts of money for DDR5 RAM. Sony's CFO has said that they have secured enough memory to keep PS5 production healthy through 2026. But beyond that, they're still negotiating with suppliers. And NVIDIA, sort of slightly separate to this, well, related but slightly different, they are now reconfiguring their old plants to make old graphics cards, albeit with some renewed features. But the old architecture is now being put back on the shelves. It's in terms of, if you're buying a graphics card now and you want, say, a 5090, which is what I've got in this computer from Scan, you're going to be paying an enormous amount of money for that top level graphics hardware and RAM. So the PS5, of course, is a machine with a lot of legroom still left to go, and developers are pushing it as far as they can get it. They're obviously working on newer, updated versions of ray tracing and smarter rendering. In fact, last year, PS5's lead architect, that's Mark Cerny, and AMD were talking about future tech like neural radiance caching. Okay, so these new kind of iterations on existing technology that reduce memory bandwidth and get more bang for your buck are now becoming ever so important because the hardware is not necessarily available. You know, basically clever ways of doing, you know, more with less. Mm. And when you hear that, it kind of makes sense that Sony might stretch this current generation, the PS5, out a little bit further. So instead of a rush PS6, we could be in for a long, possibly optimized PS5 era, which actually, for consumers...
It's all right, isn't it?
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, sometimes we complain, don't we, that we're kind of almost feeling like we're forced to get a brand new phone, like year on year. And actually, in the context of consoles, the same is sometimes true, maybe not for the next few years. And it's not just Sony that are feeling the squeeze. Nintendo also might be heading the same way. Analysts reckon memory prices and tariffs could push the cost of the Switch 2 up, maybe as high as around $550 in some markets. So there we go. So the AI push is definitely having consequences in areas that maybe we never predicted. Right, if you haven't heard yet, where have you been? The Gadget Show competition is back, and this one is big.
Very big. We're talking a whopping £5,000 to spend at CEX, all on whatever tech you want.
That's £5,000 to blow on gadgets, old or new.
Basically, whatever tech you've been dreaming about, you could buy it.
All you've got to do is head over to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and join one of our paid tiers, which start from as little as the price of a cup of coffee. We've got three tiers, light, mid and max, and depending on which tier you're on, you'll get more entries into the competition. Once you've chosen your tier, you'll need to direct message the answer to this multiple choice question. In what year did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007? And remember, being a paid member doesn't just get you into the competition.
Yeah, you'll also unlock ad-free listening, early access to episodes, and exclusive bonus episodes. And for the first time, we're offering the complete archive of Gadget Show episodes. Yes, that's over 20 years and nearly 500 episodes of gadgety goodness just for our max subscribers.
Epic. So if you fancy supporting the podcast, getting loads of extra content and having a chance to win £5,000 to spend at CEX, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and get subscribed.
For full terms and conditions, please visit the link via this episode.
So, Susie, what about you? What's caught your interest this week?
Well, something at home for me, even though I'm still filming from my old office, I'm hopefully going to move soon. I set up my record player.
Oh, come on.
Honestly, it was such a moment for me. And just to hear that noise where the needle goes onto the vinyl through the speakers, I cheered. I was on my own. I was jumping up and down in front of my record, like a lunatic.
What was the vinyl of choice?
The first vinyl. I went with Led Zeppelin.
You're such a rock goddess.
Well, I followed it with ABBA, though. So, you know.
Okay.
And it was such a mix. I had a bit of the Doobie Brothers, had some Steely Dan in there.
Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
A bit of Simply Red. I had it all going on. And then I thought I better go outside and just see how loud it is outside. Because, you know, I don't want to get complaints already. And it was all right. I could turn the bass right up. Anyway, so just the personal moment there of how glorious vinyl is. You know, I'm such an advocate for that. Otherwise, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, they've caught my eye once again.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, they often catch people's eyes.
Did I tell you that?
I once interviewed them. That's what their job is, isn't it?
Well, it is their job. The AI versions, of course, I'm talking about, because Hollywood are absolutely losing their mind over this, because in less than a week, pretty much the entire film industry has united against something called SeedDance 2.0, which is the new generation video platform from ByteDance. Yep, those are the people that are behind TikTok, of course.
TikTok, yeah.
Yeah. So it launched on the 12th of February, and almost straight away, social media filled up with incredibly realistic AI videos. And we're talking things like, you know, Bruce Lee fighting Godzilla, Batman taking on John Wick, and most famously, a really convincing-looking Tom Cruise versus Brad Pitt rooftop fight. You've probably seen that. Anyway, that is when the panic started. Major Hollywood studios, including Disney and Paramount, reportedly fired off cease and desist letters almost straight away. The Motion Picture Association came out swinging as well, accusing the platform of using copyrighted work on a massive scale and operating without safeguards. And honestly, listen, when you look at some of those clips, you can see why everyone's getting their knickers in a twist.
I know.
The realism has jumped massively in such a short period of time. And suddenly it's so easy for anyone to make something that looks like a proper movie scene. We're just going to do a promotion for Jason's new film coming out soon.
It's so funny. This is so funny, though, because there's a whole other argument, which I need to shut up and listen to you first and then tell you.
OK,
possibly.
All right. Let me finish this and then we'll go on the other side. One Hollywood writer even posted online saying it's over because the AI videos looked so professional. Others are saying that this is just the next tool like CGI or editing software before it. But of course, this is involving the actors themselves. Personally, I think that we're in this kind of weird moment where the technology has arrived faster than the rules once again. Yes, there's novelty in watching impossible matchups. You know, Bruce Lee versus Godzilla is undeniably entertaining.
Has to happen.
But there's also something that you can't fake, and that is the human craft, if you like, behind a real performance. So, no, Hollywood isn't dead, but it definitely looks like it's in for a massive rethink. What do you want to say about this?
Well, first of all, sorry for just jumping in, but you did such a good job there of telling the story of the moment. In terms of entertainment, at least, it's possibly the biggest thing that's happened in our lives in terms of entertainment. Because even when VHS, I've been setting up my VHS this week, that's my equivalent to your lovely record player. Even when VHS dropped, and just to make it clear to everyone, let's just, you know, remember, the only way to watch movies was either to wait up until 9 o'clock on a, you know, Friday night on BBC One or whatever, or to go to the cinema. And then suddenly, not only could you actually watch the movies in your home, but you could also record movies off the telly. So that was obviously massively game-changing. I'd say arguably this is bigger, because even then, the Hollywood structure was emboldened by the invention of VHS and then DVD and streaming. This is huge. It's huge. And they're arguing with ByteDance because they can. But what if I was to tell you that the Mac Mini I've got plugged in over there with OpenClaw on it, I could make anyone do anything. I could feed in a picture of anyone and get them to do anything, because at least ByteDance have a legal department that Hollywood can talk to, and they can be pressured to make decisions. Whereas a lot of the videos that you see on YouTube channels and things, where it's famous, or even on X, where it's famous people's faces and they're doing stuff, aren't created on those platforms. They're created on people's own AI servers. So to say that the Tom Cruise is out of the box is an understatement. I mean, it's not, you know, it doesn't really matter what they do with ByteDance, to be honest with you. Every platform can do this, and including those that aren't governed by large companies. Do you understand what I mean? I'm talking about personal servers with AI on it. The other thing to say, though, just quickly, I'm sympathetic to the industry, so don't get me wrong. I'm not flying the flag for being able to copy anyone's face and do what you want with it. I think it's absolutely out of order. But we've got to move quickly for some kind of legal framework to protect your own personal IP, haven't we?
Well, exactly. And that's the point. There's a difference between a car, inanimate objects, and somebody's image. And this is where they've got to nail it down. They've got to get the legislation sorted on image rights.
It does mean, though, that we can all have our own Susie Perry. And
nobody
you know,
needs
while
that.
I'm sure you're not in favour of that, Susie, I definitely am. I love the idea that I say to my phone, which will in the future will look like a Game Boy, for example, because, you know, why not? And I'll go, hey, Susie, could you please book me some flights for Luton? And you go, who do you think I am? I'm bloody Pinky Perry off the telly. I'm not booking your bloody flights, booking yourself. And I'll be like, look, I know that I programmed you to be a little bit feisty, but I do need to book some flights. Book them yourselves, book yourself.
The accent.
You're out a bit. Book him yourself.
Time for a sting. Right, Jace, it looks as though Samsung, Apple and Google are about to unveil some of their biggest releases in the coming weeks and months, because they've all just announced dates for their upcoming big press events. Apple's is happening on the 4th of March, Samsung 25th of Feb, and Google's is in May. So shall we have a little bit of a run through what we're expecting from them all? And then once everything's been announced, we can come back and see how much we were right about. Yeah, exactly that. I'll start with Apple, shall I? They're calling their event a special Apple experience. It takes place on March the 4th, as I mentioned, and it's happening simultaneously in New York, London and Shanghai. And interestingly, they're calling it an experience and not an event, which suggests something a bit more low-key and hands-on rather than the usual big, flashy keynote, maybe. As ever, Apple is being very secretive. The invite doesn't actually say what's being launched, but the rumour mill obviously has been working overtime. And we've got a pretty good idea of what might be coming. The biggest clue were the colours in the invite, light green, blue and yellow, which just happened to match rumoured colours for a brand new, more affordable MacBook. So This could be Apple's most budget-friendly laptop in years, possibly using an iPhone-style A18 Pro chip instead of the M-series processor to keep the costs down. And if the rumours are right, it could land somewhere around the $700 to $800 mark, which would be the same in pounds. And it would be a big shift for Apple, especially as they're aiming this at students. Alongside that, we're expecting updates to the MacBook Pro line, likely with the new M5 Pro and M5 Max chips. And there are also going to be, well, there's also whispers of a new iPad, including a refreshed iPad Air with an M4 processor. And the 17e that we talked about recently is looking to get an outing here as well. So the expectation here is a bit more of a hardware refresh experience rather than a massive revolution. We'll know for sure on March the 4th, and you can be sure that we'll be talking about it, obviously, whenever they reveal whatever they're going to reveal. What do you think? And can you tell us about Samsung, please?
Yeah, I'll give you some Samsung stuff. They finally locked in the date for their first Galaxy Unpacked event of 2026. That's happening on February the 25th, live from San Francisco. And you know, I hosted one of their Unpacked events in Berlin. They're massive and very exciting. And all signs point to one thing for this year's first event, the brand new Galaxy S26 lineup. Now, this first Unpacked event is normally all about Samsung's flagship phones, as you know, Susie, the big non-folding, sorry, Susie, Galaxy S devices. And this year, we're expecting three models again. That'll be the standard Galaxy S26, the S26 Plus, and the big powerhouse, the Galaxy S26 Ultra. As for what we're expecting from the S26 range, the rumours suggest this might be more of an evolution rather than a revolution. Sound like Apple, maybe? Think familiar design, similar to the current S25 series, but with the usual performance bump. Likely a new Snapdragon processor tuned specifically for Galaxy devices. Anyway, very interesting stuff. I'm particularly interested, actually, to see what announcements they make. So at the moment, it all looks like mostly iterative updates from both Samsung and Apple, nothing too wild predicted as yet.
Yeah, so finally Google then, and their I.O. 2026 event is now officially set for 19th and the 20th of May. Now, Google hasn't actually revealed what's going to be announced yet, but we can make a few pretty solid guesses based on what they've been teasing so far. So first up, an unsurprising one, AI. Both AI and Gemini were mentioned in Google's Save the Date announcement. So expect plenty of updates here. Exactly what that looks like is really still anybody's guess, but we could see Gemini becoming more deeply integrated into phones, helping with everyday tasks, or just generally getting smarter with things like responsive search and AI photo editing. That naturally leads us to Android 17, which is almost certain to feature at I/O as well. The final release probably won't land during the event. Rumours suggest it'll arrive a little bit later, maybe around June time. But we could see the final beta drop during the conference. One rumoured feature is something called motion cues, which is designed to help reduce motion sickness when you're using your phone in a moving car. Another platform we're expecting to hear more about is Android XR. That's Google's augmented reality operating system for smart glasses and headsets. Right now, there aren't really many devices that are running it apart from Samsung Galaxy's XR, but I/O would be the perfect place for new features or maybe even hints at future hardware. And then there's something a little bit more mysterious. There are rumours about something called aluminium. Unless you're American, then you say it very differently. Aluminium OS. Apparently, a new desktop-style operating system that could merge Chrome OS and Android into one platform. Google hasn't officially confirmed much about it, but the name might just be a code name. But the idea is that it would bring AI-powered features across laptops, tablets, and desktop devices. Now, it is worth remembering that Google I/O is mainly a developer conference, so software is the big focus. But occasionally, we do get a bit of hardware sneaking in there, don't we? So we might see another look at Project Aura smart glasses or other XR devices using Android XR. What we probably won't see, though, are the new phones or wearables. The Pixel 11 range and the next Pixel Watch are more likely to arrive later in the year, probably around August, if Google sticks to its usual schedule anyway. So expect lots of software, lots of AI, and probably a couple of surprises along the way. So lots to look forward to over the next few months. And of course, we'll bring you all the news when it gets or doesn't get announced.
Right, Susie, one last thing. Remember, in our Christmas special, we featured the beautiful Lego Game Boy.
Yes.
Who nicked off with that? Tom, the producer. Ladies and gentlemen, listening, watching, the producer went, me. That's what comes with being the boss. Anyway, lovely bit of nostalgia, we thought. For those of you, well, I guess you're looking at it right now, but it's an incredibly accurate rendering of this, which is, of course, the real thing, made up of Lego, right? However, John Bentley's biggest complaint was that it obviously didn't do anything. And he said it with a sort of slightly acerbic edge. Well, John, the Lego Game Boy is having its Pinocchio moment, and you can now turn it into a real working Game Boy. You can bring it to life thanks to a Kickstarter-funded thing called Brick Boy, and it's basically a kit that you can slot into the Lego Game Boy that builds it into a fully working original Game Boy. So you can put, I'm guessing you can put ROMs on it. It comes with an SD slot because I've been on the Kickstarter and had a look. Mm. The idea is very simple. You build the Lego Game Boy shell, then this module clicks in the back or whatever, and it turns the what is a plastic screen into a proper screen, gives you sound, controls, and suddenly the whole thing becomes real. I mean, I think that's amazing. That is so postmodern. It's the most postmodern of postmodern things I could ever post in a modern way. So I'm probably going to buy that, and I'm going to then have to buy the Lego kit, make that, and then we'll report back. But it's going to be a while because as a Kickstarterer myself, as you know, it does take a while. Even though you get the money, it still takes a while. I mean, yeah. I'm a year into my movie, and it's still not ready to send to people yet. So I'm guessing this will be something to report on later in the year.
So bringing Lego to life. I'm in his movie, by the way. I've got a small cameo role in his movie.
Susie is the first voice you hear in the movie is a radio presenter. I won't say any more.
Exciting. Anyway, that's a wrap for this week's podcast. So thank you so much.
What a great episode. I really enjoyed it. Really great content. And listen, as Susie said earlier, I want to echo Susie's sentiments. It is really, really important. Don't go thinking it's that posh lot from the Gadget Show, you know, millions of viewers, Gadget Show Live.
I mean, that's gone.
It's not like, we're like, that was honestly, a long time ago. We really need you to favorite this, to give it a thumbs up, also to subscribe if you're watching it on, well, any platform, but especially on YouTube. And I guess we're probably going to push the Patreon because it's so good. It's such great value for money.
Yeah, just share the stuff as well. But before we vanish, it's time to show a little bit of love to our amazing Patreon supporters, the people who are helping to keep this podcast running.
And I'm hoping that their ranks have swollen this week. That sounded wrong, but it's nothing meant to be wrong.
Do the shout-outs.
Because of the Gadget Show competition. So here we go. Huge thanks and big shout-outs to Stephen Brandon, Zamir, Andrew Brandt. Well, I can tell you already, these are new names.
Yeah.
These are new names.
Welcome.
Jared Mark, Fluky D, great name. Paul Sharrock, Phil Eastwood, Colin Taylor, Alan Williams, Chris Hughes and Martin Budnarowski. Well, those two guys are absolute OG legends. Every one of you is a legend.
Massive thank you as well to Peter Pinner, Timmy Bigger, Dave Green, Ren Mandagorn, Dean Day, Chris Cool, Stephen Green, Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington and Danny Rushton.
And a huge amount of love to Tall Man with Glasses, Skewy Cat, Dave McHugh, Matthew Riley, Daryl McCracken, Andrew Bamford and Duncan Bell. We love you guys.
And if you fancy joining this illustrious crew, you'll get bonus episodes, extras, an ad-free feed, and you'll also be in with a chance of winning that incredible 5,000 CEX prize fund.
Sorry, did you just hint that the Gadget Show competition has been relaunched, albeit in a smaller Bijou version, and that you can only have access to it, Susie, if you're a Patreon member?
That is what I hinted at, yes.
Oh, okay, so if that's not enough, plus whatever I said I'd promised to do about this, and like lock-up tours and Susie's content and all kinds of stuff and outtakes and special bits, just head to patreon.com. The Gadget Show. Sign up and join some very fine company.
And we'll see you very soon for our upcoming Inbox edition. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.